This morning I have a mind to preach some from the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote 14 books that are in the New Testament, and 2 Corinthians is one of those books that he was blessed to write. And in this book, Paul, the Apostle Paul, describes his trials, his tribulations, his suffering in his life more than I think any other book that he wrote. But I want to notice with you now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 what I think really helped the Apostle Paul to deal with all of the problems that he faced in his life. He says in verse 13 of chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak." So Paul is saying that he has this spirit of faith. Now the word spirit in verse 13 is spelled with a little S. So that would suggest to us he's not talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, but he's talking about our attitude. We need the attitude of faith. We having the same attitude or outlook of faith. How many of y'all today have an attitude of faith in God? How many of us are really trusting in the living God? Or do we have an attitude of worry, an attitude of doubt, an attitude of fear? Well, those attitudes are not going to help us deal with life's problems. Matter of fact, that kind of attitude can add to life's problems. But the kind of attitude we all need is the attitude of faith in God, trusting in God. And you may say, well, Brother Sam, how can my faith in God be built up? How can I strengthen my faith? Well, notice in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written." Now listen to that. Our beloved Apostle Paul has been reading the Old Testament. And the Old Testament has built up his faith. So, what is it that he has been reading? Well, I think he was referring here, listen, "And having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Let's turn back to where Paul was reading in Psalm 116 and verse 10. David said, "I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted and said in my haste, all men are liars." Now David was going through some trials in his life. How many of you know that life is hard? How many of y'all have figured that out yet? Life is hard. It was for King David. Notice what he would say here in Psalm 116. "I love the Lord," verse 1. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications." How many of y'all love him today? I love him. He's heard my voice many, 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 many times in my journey through this world. "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto my rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. I love that. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Now, Paul apparently was reading Psalm 116. Now, David wrote this centuries before Paul was born, but Paul is going through trials and tribulations in his own life. And what's he doing to find help? He's going back to God's Word and reading the Holy Scriptures. And I want to tell you, the more you and I read the Holy Scriptures, the more we're going to be encouraged. How many of us watch television? I didn't see any hands go up but mine. I saw one hand go up. We all watch television, don't we? I mean, we do. Might as well confess it. We do watch television. How many of y'all use your cell phones to scroll? I saw a lot of hands go up then. I mean, we're addicted to Google and the internet and things like that. And listen, television is okay, a little of it. A little of it. Anything they made back in the 1950s and 60s probably would do well to maybe watch a little of it. A lot of it today coming out of Hollywood is not fit for human consumption. It's certainly not going to help you deal with life's problems. The internet, there's things that are decent on the internet that might encourage you. But beloved, there's nothing in this world like the Word of God to help us deal with life's problems. And yet, unfortunately, it's more of a decoration in the living room than it is a textbook. We need to be reading and studying the Word of God, and it will help us. And Paul, now you think, surely Paul didn't need to read the Bible. He'd been caught up to the third heaven. He had marvelous revelations. He wrote 14 books in the New Testament. What's he having to read the Old Testament for? He needed help. And he found help in the book of Psalms. And you and I would do well. Now I know we get this admonition a lot, but I can tell you, beloved, we all need to spend some time every day in the Word of God. He says, and having the same spirit of faith. That is the attitude of faith. See, when you're reading the Bible, it's going to help you to trust in God. It's going to help you to see how great God is. It's going to help you to see that He can be right there for you in all of life's trials and tribulations. How we all need this wonderful attitude of faith in God, trusting in the Almighty. Now let's read on here. He would say in verse 7, I want to notice this verse with you a little while. He said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now that's an interesting verse. Paul is saying we've got this treasure and it's in earthen vessels. Do you know what the earthen vessel is? It's your human body. When God made Adam out, when God created Adam, what did he form him out of? Did he dig up some gold and silver and make him out of gold and silver or diamonds or rubies or pearls? He picked up a handful of dust and he made Adam out of dust. So the Bible would say that our bodies are earthen vessels, clay pots. Now, I'm looking at a bunch of earthen vessels this morning. That body you're living in is an earthen vessel. And God did a good job when he created the human body. Would y'all agree? He did an amazing job. One of the speakers yesterday was talking at the graduation, was talking about one of our former presidents who had a hard life in his childhood, but he had an eighth grade teacher, and the eighth grade teacher told his class, he said, when you all go in and look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and you wash your face, he said, stand there and say, I'm beautiful. How many of y'all do that? Well, what the teacher was trying to get these students to do was to think well of themselves. And this man, this guy who became president of the United States, he said that changed his life. It made him have a better attitude. And if you and I can just go through life making people feel beautiful, not physically necessarily, but in our souls, in our minds, in our attitudes, be beautiful. Well, I want to tell you, God has put in these earthen vessels a treasure. Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, what is the treasure that God has deposited in our bodies? Well, I believe it's eternal life. Can you put a price on eternal life? No, beloved, it is priceless. One time when I was in London, England, back a long, long time ago, I took a tour and saw Queen Elizabeth's jewels. Now, folks, if you've never seen that and you ever get over there, you'd enjoy seeing it. It's out of this world. I mean, the jewels that queen has are beyond description. And let me tell you, they got them well guarded. If you stop just a second, they're going to rush you on past. But I want to tell you, the treasure that God has put in your body is infinitely more valuable than the queen's jewels. Are y'all believing that myth? Y'all got something in you this morning God put in you that is a treasure. It is eternal life bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So the apostle would say we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And let me tell you, beloved, when you're looking at somebody, just try to look beyond the body and see the treasure that is in there. Paul would say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul's earthen vessel, I'm sure, was not much to look at. He had been stoned almost to death in the city of Lystra. They drug him out of the city and left him for dead. So you can imagine the condition his bones were in after being pounded by stones in a stone pit. Later on in this book, he talks about how he had been beaten by the Romans and beaten by the Jews. Let me tell you, when a Roman soldier trained with the whip got through whipping a man, let me tell you, a lot of times they didn't survive that whipping. The cat of nine tails would wrap itself around a man's body, and that soldier was trained to jerk that whip, and it would tear flesh which fly everywhere. And a lot of times the man getting the whipping would bleed to death. He didn't survive. Paul had that. He was stoned. He was beaten with the rod. He was beaten with the whip. So you know his body, his earthen vessel, was not something that you would say, wow, isn't he a good looking guy? But I want to tell you, the treasure in that man was invaluable. Eternal life. And the gospel of grace. The man was blessed to know how he got eternal life. Not by his works, not by his good works, not by anything he did. It was a gift. How many of us today know eternal life is a gift? Amen. The wages of sin. I got in a pretty deep conversation with somebody recently about eternal life. And I was quoting that verse, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. And they were trying to say the gift is to God himself. No, God doesn't need eternal life. He is eternal. You and I needed it, and he gave it to us. The gift of God. What is it? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. I know I've shared this with y'all, but if I came up to you, and I said, now, brother, I'm going to give you my watch. And if you didn't have a watch, you'd probably get excited. It's a Timex from Walmart. It's a wonder. You know, I don't like these digital watches on your arm. I'm too old for those. I get confused. I still like a watch that's got a face on it with the numbers. That just dates me, I know. I don't even know how they teach kids now how to tell time. I really don't, but I want to tell you, if I was going to give you my watch and I said, now it's a gift, but it's going to cost you $10, what would you say? That's not a gift. Well, I want to tell you, if you do anything in order to get eternal life, it's not a gift. But it is a gift. The wages of sin is death. You know anybody that's not going to die? You know anybody right now that's not in a dying body? Even our little children are in a dying body. We're going to get our wages. And you know what you and I deserve? Death. But you know what we're going to get through Jesus Christ? Eternal life. It's a gift. And it's a gift to us. But I want to tell you what, it cost Jesus a lot. Now, it cost him his life. And we rejoice in that today. Now that he was willing to give his life for us on the cross. And so we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, as the earthen vessel ages, and it does, it's getting older by the second. Yesterday I was with Brother John Mizell's parents down at the graduation, and they're about my age, and we were just talking about adjusting to old age. It takes a while. I tell you, it took me almost 2 years to get my mind wrapped around the fact I was an old man. It did. It took me almost 2 years. I don't think Nelda's got it yet. But you know, it is an adjustment, isn't it, to finally figure out I'm living in an earthen vessel and it is wearing out. It's got cracks here and cracks there. And as Brother Gene Cannon said, he told me, he said, Brother Sam, I figured out why old people retire. I said, why is that? He said, so we can make it all these doctor's appointments. I can get a witness from older people in the house today. It is. We're in earthen vessels and they're wearing out. But there's something in you that is not wearing out. There's something in you that's a treasure. It's eternal life. And when the earthen vessel finally is broken in death, that eternal life will escape like a bird out of a cage and go back to God who gave it. Now back to the subject of faith. In this chapter, Paul is going to tell us things that will build up our faith. Let's notice verse 6. Paul would say, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you read where darkness covered the earth and God commanded and said, let there be what? Let there be light. And there was light. Now I want to tell you, your faith and my faith should be in a God today who can just speak the word and the universe comes into existence. Amen? How many of y'all think it took billions and trillions of years for the universe to get here? I don't. I believe it took 6 literal 24-hour days. And when it was all finished, God looked at it, said it's very good, and he rested. He didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was satisfied with his creation. Now, we are called on in Scripture to put our faith in a God who created the universe. So, y'all got a problem that God can't handle? Come on now, y'all wake up this morning. Am I talking to y'all or y'all asleep? I know it's summertime and people get the summer blues or what. I don't know. I want y'all to leave here today with your faith in the living God. You got problems at your business that God can't take care of. You got problems in your relationships that God can't take care of. You got some physical condition that God can't take care of. No, my friends. The Bible says that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can even think of or ask for. And our faith ought to be growing in Him on a regular basis. Later on in this chapter, he's going to bring up something that will definitely strengthen our faith. Let's notice verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus. Oh, I love that. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. I love that, beloved friends. Now he's talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, 3 days before Jesus was resurrected, he was crucified. They had beaten him with the cat of nine tails. They had had no mercy on him at all. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that his visage was so marred, worse than any man that has ever lived on the earth, probably more so than his mother could have even recognized him. And then they nailed him to that cross. And 3 days he laid quietly in Joseph's borrowed tomb. What happened after that? He was resurrected. 3 days later. You know, the Roman soldiers had placed a seal, a Roman seal, on that tomb. The tomb Jesus was buried in was not in the ground like our cemetery here. They would hew out stones out of the side of a stone mountain, and there they would bury their loved ones, and there would be a stone rolled in front of that grave. And those Roman soldiers knew that Jesus had said he would live again. So they put a Roman seal on that tomb. Because let me tell you, in those days, when you broke a Roman seal, it meant death to you. You didn't tamper with a Roman seal. The mighty Roman Empire was behind that seal. So they sealed the tomb, making sure that no grave robbers would have the courage to go there and steal his body away. And they placed soldiers there to guard the tomb. Y'all remember that? Those Romans meant for him not to come out of there. They wanted him in there. If they could have got him out the fourth day and just displayed his dead body, boy, they would have rejoiced. But do any of y'all in the house this morning remember what happened? 3 days after his burial. You say, why didn't he stay in there 4 days? Well, you remember when Lazarus was buried and Jesus came and said, roll the stone away from the tomb. His sister Martha said, don't do that. But this time his body's in decay. The odor of death would come out. We don't want our family embarrassed. See, on the fourth day, Jews believe the body began to enter into decay. Jesus is coming out of the grave before that happens. 3 days later, all the powers of hell itself could not have kept Jesus in that tomb. Are y'all with me today? How many of y'all, see, if y'all don't believe this, then y'all just wasting your time at church. I'm wasting my time preaching if y'all don't believe it. See, you say, Brother Sam, how can I believe that a dead man can live again? You can believe it by faith, not by sight, but by faith. How do you believe the universe came into existence? Paul said in Hebrews 11, by faith or through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. He just spoke it into existence. Now these evolutionists, bless their struggling minds, they try to figure out how it all could have happened. Billions, trillions of years ago, some little something came into existence. I don't know where it came from. I tell you, I wouldn't take all the gold in Fort Knox for what I believe about the creation of the universe. I just believe my God spoke it into existence. And then I believe with all my heart, by faith, that his body came out of that grave alive and well 3 days later. Now, listen, beloved, if your faith is in a God who can create the universe, and your faith is in a God that can raise the dead, then I want to tell you, you ought to be kind of easy this morning and peaceful and restful. You got problems God can't take care of? I don't think so. But what you and I need to do is trust him more. Live by faith and not by works. You say, well, Brother Sam, Paul was living by faith and he had all these problems. Listen to what he says in verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Now, you say, what good did faith do him? See, they finally cut his head off in Rome. Y'all do remember that, don't you? He was beheaded by the enemies of the gospel in the city of Rome. Probably he wasn't as old as I am when they finally took his life from him. But I want to tell you, when they were taking him out to that chopping block, y'all think he was scared? Y'all think he was upset or worried? No. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is what? Gain. See, you and I need to see things that we can't see with these natural eyes. That's what Paul goes on to say. Listen, my time is up and I understand that, but let's look at what he would say later. He said in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 4, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How can you look at things which are not seen? By faith. Faith is to the soul what eyes are to the body. So, beloved, I don't know what y'all are going to be facing next week. I don't know what I'm going to be facing next week. But I know who's going to be out there with me and for me. How many of y'all do know that? He's going to be right there. His grace is sufficient. Paul prayed 3 times for a thorn to be removed from his body. And 3 times Jesus said, no, but my grace is sufficient for you. And his grace is going to be sufficient for all of us. You know, driving back yesterday, Nelda was sound asleep. And my mind just began to travel back over my life. How many of y'all ever do that? See, I got 77 years to think about. And it's just like it was beginning to unfold, but like a book. And in my book, brother, there's a lot of chapters. A lot of them full of blessings and joy. A lot of those chapters are heartaches, pain, suffering. But I just drove along and I thought, but God has been right there with me. I like that song, Amazing Grace. And I can tell you, one of my favorite verses is that through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. I want all of you to live by faith and just trust in the Almighty. Because I can tell you, I told the group yesterday, I told Brother John's family, they were sitting at a table, I said, well, I'm going to do something the devil has never done. And they looked at me like, what? What is that? I said, I'm going to leave y'all. See, the devil never leaves us. Did y'all know that? He hangs around all the time. How many of y'all understand that? Satan is constantly trying to tempt you, worry you, pull you down, get you entrapped in something that you don't need to be in. How many of y'all do know that? He's on the job. Some preacher recently said there was a lady in their family who never, never said anything bad about anybody. I wish that was my story, but anyway, finally, somebody in the family said, I can tell you somebody you can't say a thing good about. And she said, who is that? The devil. And she said, well, you can say this about him. He's on the job. Well, he is. And I want to tell you, he's after you. And you, and you, and all of you back there. And he's after me. Constantly. And he's clever. He's dangerous. He's a roaring lion. He's very deceptive. But I tell you what, the Bible says, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, being in church on a regular basis, it helps us in this spiritual warfare. Are y'all with me today? Thank y'all for your wonderful attention this morning.